John 6:35, 47 through 51, which is the text for today's sermon. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh."
Well, good morning. Welcome again. I'm not sure if I introduced myself at the beginning. If I haven't met you, my name's Jim. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are, the second part of the summer, jumping into another short series. So first part of the summer, we went through Proverbs. And now the second part, we're going to go through the I am statements of John. Seven I am statements of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. So today we come to this first statement that we see in John 6, where Jesus very clearly says, "I am the bread of life." And each of these statements, as we come to them over the next 7 weeks, I think we should consider them like seven facets of a jewel that show us the value and the beauty of who Jesus Christ is and of who Jesus Christ is for us. Because we see very clearly every need is met in Jesus, every desire is fulfilled, every joy is found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus is saying about himself. He's saying, "In me, every desire is fulfilled. In me, every need is met." One of my favorite quotes from church history is from an 18th century pastor named Thomas Boston. And he said this, "Christ is a jewel worth more than 1,000 worlds. Get him and get all. Miss him and miss all." And what Thomas Boston is saying there is really what Jesus is saying in John 6 when he says, "I am the bread of life." He is saying, "I am everything you need. I am all that you need." As Lorraine just read for us, he says, "Come to me, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Come to me. Find satisfaction, find fulfillment, find an answer to your hunger. So as we come to this text this morning and we think about our lives, we think of the hunger that is there. We think of the desires that we have, the cravings that we have. That's our life. And then we come to these words of Jesus. How do these two things come together? The prophet Isaiah, recording the words of God, and I think we should picture Jesus like a father lovingly saying these words to us. We can see him coming down to us and saying, Isaiah 55:2, "Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Why do you waste your money on this stuff that is not bread? Why do you waste your money on that which is not bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy?" So that's what we come to this morning. And I know as we come to this, we come to this theme, probably a number of questions immediately arise in our minds. Is this true? Can we trust Jesus' words? Does this really happen that when we come to Jesus, we'll never hunger again? How does this fit with my experience, my real life experience? And for many of us, we continue to live our lives looking for that answer to our hungers, thinking, well, maybe this will do it. Maybe this relationship will do it. Maybe when I finish this degree, maybe when I get this job, maybe when I take this trip, then I'll find this satisfaction. But Jesus says, these are all breads which do not satisfy. Come to me and find satisfaction. So let's pray and we'll look at this together. Father, we do come to you now and we thank you for giving us these words of Jesus, where he clearly states who he is, what he offers, what he gives. We do pray now that Jesus Christ would be magnified, that Jesus Christ would be proclaimed, And that you would just help us to have a small glimpse of what this would mean for each of our lives if we lived satisfied in Christ, who is the bread of life. Help us now, we pray. We need you to give us listening ears. We need you to give us receptive hearts. Help us, O God, we pray. Send your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a bold claim of Jesus, and we can think of other bold claims throughout church history. My mind immediately went to Muhammad Ali loudly declaring, "I am the greatest." You've seen videos, you who are younger, if you've seen videos, he was one of the most arrogant men who's ever lived. He was a great boxer, but he tended to overstate things at times. That was kind of his MO. So how do we know Jesus isn't overstating things when he makes this bold claim? "I am the bread of life. Come to me and you'll never be hungry again." How do we know he's not overstating things? I think there are a few ways that we can quickly answer that this morning. First, we could answer this from experience. How do we know Jesus isn't overstating things? We could have a long line of people from this room standing up and saying, and say to the rest of us, "I have found fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He has rescued me from my endless pursuit of cravings and given me a sustained joy." So from experience, a number of people in this room, outside this room, could say, "I have found fulfillment in Christ." Secondly, we look at Jesus' character. We read through the Gospels, his track record of speech and action. He is truthfulness. He is marked by truthfulness. What he says always comes to pass. Always comes to pass. So from experience, from who Jesus is, truth itself. Third, these statements of Jesus, this statement is recorded in Scripture, in the Word of God. Again, our basis of reality, our basis of understanding truth, this is where we come to this statement. So, three very quick responses. But Jesus isn't overstating things here. And I think as we continue, as we unpack this in our short time together, we'll see more and more that not only is this true, but we should want this to be true. This statement of Christ is so beautiful. It changes our lives. True satisfaction really is found in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis, who Teo quoted in his prayer, and I'll quote at least twice in this sermon. It's good to quote C.S. Lewis. He said so many wonderful things, but he said this: "Just as a duckling wants to swim, so there's such a thing as water. And as a baby wants to suck, there's such a thing as milk. So, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." And I think we can improvise Lewis's quote a little bit and say this: if I find in myself desires, maybe relational hungers, which nothing, no one around me can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that there must be someone who can satisfy these needs. And Jesus is claiming to be that one. The bread of life. He came to give life and to give it abundantly. "Come to me and you'll never be hungry again." So that's what we come to this morning. Three main themes for us. First, I want to quickly look at Jesus' metaphor of bread and what that meant for people in his day. It meant something different to them than it means to us today. So Jesus' metaphor of bread. Second point, a bread that perishes. And third, a bread that lasts forever. So that's where we're going. So first, Jesus' metaphor, bread. He says, "I am the bread of life." Right? Who doesn't love bread, right? Who doesn't? I'm sorry to my gluten-free friends. Bread. The last few weeks, have been doing our landscaping around our house, so long nights of work. And we come in, and a few of my kids have started putting bread in the bread maker. So we get in after a long night of work, and there's warm bread there on the counter for us. Like, what's better than that? Bread for us, though, is an option. We go to a restaurant, the waiter says, "Hey, would you like bread with your meal?" And we can say, "Not this time," right? I want to save it for the real stuff coming later. But for people of Jesus' day, speaking, right, he's speaking thousands of years ago, a very different place, bread for them was, right, the only option for many of them. Right, we go to the grocery store and we can look at aisle after aisle of food, lots of choices of types of bread, but also lots of choices for all kinds of other things to eat. But throughout most of human history and in Jesus' day, most people and cultures have gotten just about all their daily calories from eating one basic crop. So you can think of some parts of the world that's rice, some parts of the world that's potatoes. Here, Jesus' culture, it's wheat. Wheat was the basic crop. Wheat, right, was harvested. The seeds were ground into flour. The flour was mixed with water. And what do flour and water make? Bread. So bread was food for them. If the wheat crop failed, survival was a concern. It was their primary source of calories. Bread was food. So when Jesus makes this claim, I am the bread of life, he's not just saying, I'm an option to your diet, I'm a choice, but I am what will sustain you. I am what is necessary for you. It's a huge claim. He's claiming to be essential to life. He's claiming that every single person is dependent on him and that life does not work without him. He is saying, you need me. If you want to live, if you want life, you need me. I am the bread of life. So that's first. I think understanding the time and place when Jesus said it helps us understand the metaphor, what he's saying. He's saying, I am all that you need. So number two, what is this bread that perishes that Jesus refers to in John 6? So if you go back, if you have a Bible, look at the beginning of John 6, the opening story, the opening account, in the first 15 verses, Jesus, as he's teaching, right, is on a mountain, and he's with a ton of people have come to him, and we're told they have come to him because he's healing them. And he's giving them things. So they're attracted to him because of these benefits. And that becomes a theme throughout these verses. So look at John 6, 1 through 15. I'm going to read this story. It's amazing how it fits into what Jesus says next when he says, I'm the bread of life. So verse 1, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Interesting tie to the Passover, right? Which will tie to the Lord's Supper in this chapter of John 6. So interesting. Verse 5, lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii, a lot of money worth of bread, would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So this is amazing. We need to see the significance of what Jesus does on this mountain. 5,000 plus people from 5 loaves, 2 fish. All are fed, 12 baskets left over. So the crowd sees this and they think, we want more of this. We will follow you wherever, we'll make you king. We want more of this bread. We will follow you. So Jesus has to sneak away into hiding because the crowd wants to make him king because they want more of this bread. But the rest of John 6, what Jesus is doing is he's reshaping their desire. He's saying, don't follow me just to get this bread that lasts today and is gone tomorrow. Don't follow me for this. You need something more. You need a different kind of bread. You need me, and you need to see what I will give you. Verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because of you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves and you want more bread. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. So he's redirecting their desires. He's saying you shouldn't just focus on this. It's amazing that Jesus was able to provide this bread for them. But the next day, they were going to be hungry again. And Jesus says, don't work, don't strive for this bread that will not last, that does not endure, this bread that perishes. Pursue this other bread, people. Pursue me and find an answer to your hunger in me. That's his message to them. So how does this apply to us today? Right, we've seen we're in a very different food situation than them. Our relationship to food for most of us is very, very different. But how do we apply this more broadly? What would Jesus say to us? Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Why are you striving for that? Why is your focus on that? You're going to be hungry again tomorrow. Come to me, and you will not hunger. Come to me and taste this bread that satisfies. Find fulfillment, contentment, rest, and peace in a relationship with me. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I had to practice that. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a Russian author, said this: the belly is an ungrateful wretch. It never remembers past favors. It always wants more tomorrow. Who can agree with that, right? I'm a hungry man, right? I can have a great bread snack at night after we work, and the next morning I'm ready to eat my three eggs, right? I need more. My belly is an ungrateful wretch. It doesn't remember what happened last night. I want more and more each day. That's how our stomachs work. That's how our hunger works. But Jesus is saying, no. There is something different. When you find me, when you find a relationship with me, when you get this, your hungers will be satisfied. We were made, Augustine says, to have a relationship with God. And our hearts are restless until they rest in God. So we will be searching. We'll be thinking, well, maybe this relationship, maybe when I find that person, then I will be satisfied. Guess what? That happens, still not satisfied. Maybe when I get this job, maybe when I finish this degree, maybe when I make this team, maybe when I find these friendships, then I'll be satisfied. Jesus is saying, why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Come to me. Come to me. I was reading a book this week, and it referred to the world's longest health study of men, conducted by Harvard. For 80 years, they traced a group of men, and one of the questions they asked over these 80 years is what made the men happy. And the research discovered, and this probably is not a surprise, that the most important factor in happiness was not recognition, wealth, status, or professional achievement. The most important factor in happiness was having close, loving relationships. That was number one. Men, over 80 years, who's happy? Those who have close, loving relationships. And I know the Harvard study is not referring to a close, loving relationship with God necessarily, but I think from that study, we then can take the step, what is the closest loving relationship we can have? We were made to have a relationship with God. And Scripture, as it communicates to us, says that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is one who lays down his life for his friends. There is no closer relationship imaginable than the relationship we can have with the one who gave himself for us. The one who came to restore us into fellowship with God. our mediator between God and man, the mediator, the one who reconciles us, brings us back together by giving his very life for us. The reason why Jesus is the bread of life is because he leads us into what we were made for, restoring us into, we could say, the presence of God, communion with God, friendship with God, the one who made us. David writes in Psalm 16 that it's in the presence of God, it's in this relationship that we find fullness of joy. Here is fullness of joy. Here is the place where pleasures come that can truly satisfy and last forever. That's David's claim. And Jesus is saying, come to me, and this is where you will find pleasure and satisfaction. It's only found here. Quit searching. Quit eating this bread that perishes, that will only leave you hungry in the morning. So we could go through so many different options of where we tend to look, where we tend to go, but we must hear the words of Jesus. It's different for all of us, right? Where we tend to look for satisfaction and hunger, well, let's all pause. We can think about our own things that we're pursuing, but pause and hear the words, the claim of Jesus, I am the bread that satisfies. So let's look at that. I am the bread that satisfies. Again, verses, if you look at John 6, 48 through 51. Consider what he's saying. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate this manna, right? The bread in the wilderness, and they died. This, talking about himself, is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die, live forever. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Here is a very important point. So you think of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus isn't standing before us and holding a piece of bread. He's not saying, let me give you this bread of life. Right? So that's something in his hand. He is saying, I am the bread of life. And that's a very, very important distinction. Life and satisfaction and answer to our hunger, all these things don't come from receiving something from Jesus, like he kind of gives us these things and then steps away. They come in a relationship, a union with Jesus Christ. It's in the relationship with Jesus himself that we find this satisfaction, that we find this contentment. We're not looking anywhere else. It's not something in his hand. It's Jesus himself. And as we commune with him, we find this satisfaction. Again, in the Old Testament, David is anticipating this. The Old Testament writers are anticipating this. Psalm 81 is Asaph speaking, and he gives these words of God to us where he says, open your mouth wide, God says, and I will fill it. I will feed you with the finest of wheat. I will feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy. Pointing forward to what God would give us by sending his son, the one who is the bread of life, to satisfy us, to welcome us into this place of contentment, answering our hungry souls. This is God's heart for us, that we would hear the words of Jesus and find this satisfaction, find this contentment. These words preserved for us thousands of years later. Why are they preserved? Why do we have this? Why did John write this? Why do we receive this today? Because this is the answer to our hunger, and God wants us to find satisfaction in Jesus. I told you I'd quote C.S. Lewis one more time, and this is so good, so fitting. He said this, most people, if they really learn to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never keep their promise. The longings that arise within us when we first fall in love, or first think of some foreign country, or first take up some subject that excites us, our longings which no marriage, no travel, no learning can satisfy. I am not speaking of what would ordinarily be called unsuccessful marriages or trips and so on. I am speaking of the best possible ones. There's always something we grasp at this, at that first moment of longing that just fades away in the reality. That's our experience. The spouse may be a good spouse. The scenery may have been excellent. It has turned out to be a good job, but it has evaded us. We haven't found it, so we keep searching. We keep hungering for more. When we need to come to the one who is the bread of life. Let me close with just a few thoughts. Number one, we were made to find satisfaction in a relationship with God. I don't know Latin, to be very clear, at all. But in Augustine's quote, when he says, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you," that "for" there, "you have made us for yourself," I'm told by people who do know Latin, means you have made us toward yourself. You've made us toward yourself. Human beings, every single human being is made toward God so that we are to look to God to find satisfaction. Every person in this room is made to find satisfaction in Jesus. Today, this offer comes to you, to your hungry soul, come to Jesus. Number two, as I said, in many ways, I'm still a very hungry man. And all week as I thought about this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Well, what about this desire in my life? I've come to Jesus. I've found satisfaction in him. But what about this? I still seem prone to look to these other things for satisfaction. What is going on in my heart? Can I trust Jesus? What is with this dissatisfaction in my soul? I know I've found fulfillment in Christ. There's so many moments, right, where I feel dissatisfaction, discontentment, still searching. It affects the people around me. What is going on? I think there's an aspect where, as followers of Christ, we can stand up and testify and say, yes, my longings have been met in Jesus. I found peace. I found contentment in Jesus. And yet, as I continue to live my life, really every day, there's this temptation, maybe from Satan, right? There's this temptation in my own sinful heart where I'm going to look for this for satisfaction. If only this happened. If I could just get control here, then I could find satisfaction. And so the Christian life is not just this one moment in the past where you come to Jesus and everything's good. The Christian life is very much a process. And so I know my heart. Each day, I need to come back and taste the bread of life. Come back in repentance and confession. Jesus, I was looking here. I was looking here. I went this direction to find satisfaction, and I'm empty. I'm still hungry. Jesus, I need you. This is the Christian life. Repentance, looking to Jesus, coming again and again to him. This is what we do individually, and this is what we do communally. This is what we do when we come to the preaching of God's word and we come to the Lord's Supper. We're reminded again that Jesus gave himself for us. He is our bread. And we can think back to the times where we looked here to find satisfaction, and Jesus is saying, I have given my body for you. This is my body. This bread is for you. So as Christians, we know this is true. And we pray more and more that it would be experientially true each day, that we'd grow in our contentment, in our peace, in our satisfaction in Christ. And we feel this longing for other things, or when we pursue these other things, what do? We repent and we look again to Christ, seeking satisfaction in him. And third, right before we close, I think it's so important to think of the way this satisfaction does drive us to love others. One of my favorite themes in thinking about mission, a few people have said it, We think about our love for others. Who are we? We are beggars who have found bread, telling other beggars where to get it. We have found the satisfaction. We look around us on this campus. We look around us at our jobs, in our labs. It's from this satisfaction that we just want to share it with others. This drives us to mission. Jesus said, "Come to me. You will never be hungry again. Come to me and find satisfaction." We were made for this. We were made for this. And to remind us that this is true, he does give us again and again this Lord's Supper. The broken body of Jesus is this bread that satisfies. So we'll come in a moment to this Lord's Supper. I want to read the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and notice how this ties into this theme. Where Paul says, "I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, the night of his death, he took bread." The same theme, right? He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus again gives us this gift, this bread which is Jesus. And here we come again, knowing that even though our hearts are still longing for so many things, so distracted, so discontent, he calls us back to himself. And we can come because he gave himself for us. We can come because he sacrificed himself. He took the punishment we deserve. So freely come, nothing in our hands. Freely come and find in him all we need. So we'll come to the table here in a second. Let me pray for us. And after I pray, if the ushers would please come forward. Father, we thank you for these I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We thank you how they challenge our hearts and redirect us to Jesus Christ. We do pray. I pray for each person in this room. I pray that you would help us to understand this claim of Christ and help us to live each day knowing these other marvelous gifts sometimes, these other good things are just bread that perishes compared to you, the one who is the bread of life. May we be a people who again and again turn back to you, who take and eat and find our joy and our satisfaction in our relationship with you. God, be our help, we pray. We believe. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. We have found satisfaction. Help us in our dissatisfaction. And even now, as we come to this table together, may we taste and see your goodness and find our joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen.